Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Please send your comments, questions, and prayer requests to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now we begin our study of the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. This is part 1 of 2. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're still in our series on the whole armor of God. This study will be the shield of faith. We're going to read 14 through 16, but our message will be focused on verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here this morning. We thank you for those who are watching online, those who will hear and watch this later on the internet and radio and by other means. Every way that you open, we are going to walk through that door to minister to folks, beginning with the preaching of the gospel and then preaching the word, teaching the saved so that we can be better equipped for life, better equipped to worship you and serve you and enjoy you in our daily lives, and to be your vessels to get the gospel out. And we thank you for using us. And Lord, it is our pleasure and our privilege to tell others about Jesus Christ, but also just to live day in and day out knowing we're saved, knowing we have eternal life, knowing we have the promise of heaven when this life is over, having a peace that passes all understanding. We just thank you for this time we can spend in your word to grow in our faith as we grow in our knowledge of the word of God, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you are in your Bibles, Ephesians 6, 14 through 16. I do have it on the screen here, but you're going to need those Bibles. We're going to turn to a few places as we study. But beginning at verse 14, read that with me. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, we've studied in our previous studies the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and you're having your feet shod or shoed with the gospel of peace. And we gave you a picture of the ancient Roman versions that people listening to Paul would have had in their minds as he taught. The girdle was a belt, could hold things, but it also protected your gut and your loins from being damaged. And then the breastplate covered your heart and your lungs and your gut there, and also your feet being shod. And you can see by the picture that it was to protect your soul, the sole of your foot. And we won't re-preach all that, but understanding those things, and if you don't, go back and watch those online. They're available for free on our website. All you have to do is go bbfohio.com. You can actually go over to the library for free if you don't have internet and download those or watch those, put on headphones or whatever the case may be. But with all that in mind that we've already studied, then the next thing Paul says is, above all. Say that with me. Above all. Now, it means what it says. Above all. Above all means this is a priority. Why? Because we'll see that truth, righteousness, and the gospel itself must be a product of what we're about to look at, and that is faith. Amen. The having the truth, having the Bible in your hand, hearing the truth, understanding that you need the righteousness of Christ and can have the righteousness of Christ, understanding the gospel, means nothing if it's not yours personally by faith. That's why it's so ridiculous that so many Christian churches teach that you're saved by baptism. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that H2O activates truth, righteousness, and the gospel. I've joked about it, but it's true. We sing, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Well, those baptizing churches should sing, we have heard the joyful splash, water saves, water saves. If I believed in what they believed, I'd sing that. You'd have to and mean it and believe it. But water doesn't save. We have our baptism on August 6th. It's not to save anybody. Amen? Amen. We're baptizing you because you're saved. Amen. Not in order to be saved. Truth, righteousness, and the gospel must be a product of faith. Not some religious act. Not church membership, church confirmation, baptism, any of those things. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. It really is just what it sounds like. It's a shield. There's a picture of what that shield looked like, at least from what we know from pictures drawn and archaeology and history. We know that a good number of the Roman shields looked exactly like that. And here's how they would use them. And it's just a... It looks like a garbage can cut in half. And they'd used one half to buck the lower part and the other half of the trash can to... Of course, they painted it red and made it look all pretty. But isn't that what it looks like? It looks like they took one of those old aluminum garbage cans and cut them in half. And they have a leather strap to hold on to it. And they would actually hold one or two. And you can see there... Just look at that picture with the soldiers with their helmet on, we're going to talk about in a future study, and everything else. Look at how little was exposed. And they were throwing darts and arrows and spears. I mean, that'd be hard to hit, even shooting a 22, you know? I say 22 because I'm really accurate with a 22. You give me a 9mm, the accuracy goes down. But give me a 22, I could pick off some of those guys. But they didn't have 22s. They had arrows, spears. And here's, look what they do then. They would actually form an impenetrable covering by ducking under one with one in front. And they would march, and the only thing you could hit then was their feet. And if you had your feet shod, then even that wasn't necessarily a devastating blow. What'd you say, Charlie?
That formation is called a testudo.
Say it louder.
Testudo.
Testudo. That formation is called a testudo. It just basically looks like a bunch of Lego blocks stuck together. But, you know, that's why the Romans won so many wars. They would go fight a bunch of people who thought they could just, by screaming and yelling and throwing things, they'd win. And the Romans would sit there and everything would deflect and then they would attack. And the other side many times had nothing like that. No protection. They would just wipe people out. Well, if you want that kind of protection from your enemy, you want that kind of protection? That means you're going to have very little exposed for the enemy. It's all a matter of faith. Amen? I love the fact you're at church. Coming to church is good. But the only reason coming to church is good, the only way coming to church is good, is if while you're here, you learn the Word of God. Amen. It's great to have fellowship. It's great to have good food. Amen? It's great. I love singing. And it's one of the reasons I love the place to be packed. It's because the more people, the more voices, and the better the music sounds when you're singing these old hymns. I love that. Jenny will tell you, I know I'd probably drive her crazy, but I've downloaded a bunch of churches that were full of saints singing the hymns. Some, a lot of them a cappella, just nothing but voices. Why? Because that's what heaven's going to be like. Amen. Heaven's just going to be a bunch of voices singing praises to the Lord. And they're not going to sing these generic CCM type songs. They're going to sing about the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. They're not going to be shy about talking about the death of Jesus Christ and His burial, His resurrection, and His conquering kingdom. They're not going to be shy about that at all. Can't wait. But you know, that doesn't do any good if it's not undergirded by also the teaching of the Word. I've been to churches where they're saying really, and I mean, hair stand on, I got little tiny hairs up here and little ones back here, and they stand right up. I just be, just want to get up and, oh, whoo, you know, that kind of thing. And then the preacher get up there and just put me to sleep. Why? Because he didn't teach the Bible. How many of you have been to story time? Right. That reminds me of a story. And when I get done with this story, I got another story. Right. And here's one I think's going to be funny. It ain't going to have anything to do with what I'm talking about, but it'll make you laugh and wake you up a little bit. And then I'm going to tell another story and get real serious. And that's when I get to sort of talk, whisper, and I take off my glasses and I do this. Everything they do is orchestrated to try to get your attention in the flesh. And that puts me to sleep. But I've listened to people. How many of you ever heard of a guy named Chuck Smith? You ever heard of Chuck Smith? Chuck Smith is a pastor who passed away, but he was the kind of the founding pastor of Calvary Chapel. And he was on the radio at WCVO before it went down the tubes and started playing nothing but CCM garbage. But they would play Chuck Smith and several others that I'd listen to. But Chuck would teach like this. And at first, especially if you hadn't had your coffee, you'd start to think, oh, this guy's going to put me to sleep. But Chuck would read from a King James Bible. And he would say things that made you think, that's what that means. And just as much as hearing good gospel music, there were times I'm sitting in my car outside of Sears Distribution Center on the west side of Columbus during my lunch hour, and I'm listening to this guy who most of the world would think is boring as anything you ever heard. He kind of, when I first listened to him, I said, you know, he almost sounds like he should be on PBS. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. This is PBS. We have a lot of dead air. And we speak monotone. But the difference is we say nothing. Chuck Smith was preaching the Word. And I would get that hair on end thing going on in my car. I'd want to lay on the horn. You ought to be listening to this. I mean, it's great. It didn't have anything to do with him being, because I'm just naturally weird and goofy. I can't teach like that unless I'm making fun of someone. That's the only time you hear me teach like that. It's just not my personality. But God will use your personality. He'll use my personality if you do one thing. Preach the Word. Yes. It's the Word. And it's all a matter of faith, not a matter of flesh. Amen? Yes. It's not whipping people up in a frenzy. What is faith? Now, there's a lot of times where you'll see me go to a Webster's 1828 to give you a little bit of a definition for a word. But there are many, many times where you don't need to do that. The Bible itself has a built-in dictionary. And sometimes it's just like, I mean, a dictionary. You look up the word faith and it tells you what it is in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. I want you to turn there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. I got to turn there too. Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. Great chapter. I mean, it's all good, but this is really good. Amen?
Amen.
And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells you what faith is. The first three words, now faith is. So, highlight that, mark that in your Bible. Put yourself a little electronic doodad or whatever you do in that thing, Martha. Or on your phone if you have an app. Mark this. Hebrews 11, 1, read that with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There it is. Now you will find definitions of faith both in dictionaries and given by even ministers that is totally bogus. Just for one example is, a lot of times the way faith is taught, it's something you have in you and you have to conjure up. It's like you've been given a seed of faith and you now have to learn to grow that faith and use that faith. That's not how the Bible teaches it. And the word faith movement is that you have to, it's by your faith that God moves. That's not true. Folks, God is going to move. God's plan is going to be fulfilled whether you have any faith or not. Let me say that again. God's plan is going to be fulfilled whether you have faith or not. The benefit is that you get to be a part of the plan instead of being in the way and getting run over. Amen. That's the benefit. There's two key words in that verse as you look in your Bible there. Hebrews 11:1. Two key words. Substance and evidence. Substance and evidence. Think about that, because many people today, their idea of faith is blind faith. I'll just put it this way. Unless you're a sincere Bible-believing Christian, you do not have faith. Not in the biblical sense. Study Islam. Study Buddhism. Study Mormonism. Study the Watchtower Society and the Jehovah's Witnesses and their doctrine. Study false religion and you will find it's not based on substance or evidence.
Amen.
You take Muhammad. Muhammad claimed to be a prophet. You know how he proved he was a prophet? You say, well, he prophesied, right? No, he didn't. Muhammad's prophecies are no different from anything anybody else could give. He basically said, one of these days, God's going to judge the world. And that's not going to happen until the whole world becomes Islamic. So, at the end, when we find out the whole world doesn't become Islamic, that's when Muhammad's proven to be a false prophet once and for all. Amen?
Amen.
But he didn't give the kind of prophecies you get in the Bible. He didn't give the kind of prophecies you have in Daniel where it says, okay, from the time of the going forth to the setting up of the wall until 69 weeks, which time then Messiah will be cut off, and that leaves 1 week. That's in Daniel 9, 24 to 27. And if you do your history studies, you'll find out that Artaxerxes gave the order to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls and the temple. And from that point, 69 weeks of years, which is 69 times 7, 493 years is the full amount, so it's 482 years. Did I get that right? I'm doing the math. I'm in my head. 483 years, yes. After 483 years, guess who showed up? Jesus. And guess what happened to him? He was cut off.
Yeah.
And based on that, now we know there's 1 week of years left, and that's called the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. There's nothing like that in the Quran.
Amen.
The Watchtower Society, you know how many times they've foretold the second coming of Jesus Christ? You know what they finally did? They gave up and claimed, oh, actually he did return, but he's up in the sky and we can't see him. That's what you have to resort to when you're making stuff up. Joseph Smith claimed to have been given these plates that he could read with these special glasses and he would hold his hat and look in his hat and all this stuff. He'd already been arrested for using that same tactic to rip people off of money. And then he uses that same tactic to start the Latter-day Saints cult. And he had a message from God that it was okay for him to marry young girls and have as many wives as he wanted. And then later, when Utah wanted to become a state, the president that came after Brigham Young decided, oh, we've got another word from God. And he said, okay, we're forgetting that. No more polygamy. Why? Because you can do that when you're just making it up. And that's the kind of thing that you get sucked into if your faith is not based on substance and evidence. A blind faith, that's not biblical faith. Our faith is not a blind leap into the dark. If right now you say, I'm a Christian, but then when people ask you any questions, as to, well, why do you believe? Why do you believe the Bible? Why do you believe Jesus actually existed? Why do you believe he actually died and was buried and actually rose again the third day? Why do you believe that? And you say, because I just choose to believe. You're on dangerous ground. Why? Because the Bible says that's not the kind of faith God gives us. It's not a blind leap in the dark. It's substance, evidence. There is plenty of substance and evidence just in this book right here. Now, if you look at somebody and say, because I believe this book is the Word of God. Well, then they say, well, why do you believe that? That's when you ought to be able to rattle off some information that you say, well, for starters, you could just say, because I've read this book and I've believed this book and it has changed my life. That's point number one. Now, of course, they'll say, well, you know, you hear the same testimonies from people who go to AA. They say, well, but the difference is that my faith is based on substance, a book. The AA faith in a higher power is based on nothing. It's a blind leap. See, you're starting to get the difference there. And so then you can also say that no legitimate archaeological discovery has ever contradicted the information in this book. There are people who tell you that it's happened. You test what they're saying. It's bogus.
Amen.
We'll go into this sometimes in our study of Daniel, but they tried to undermine the authority of the book of Daniel. And they say, well, the book of Daniel didn't really prophesy all that you see going on with the different kingdoms of Babylon and Medo-Persia and all that. And it didn't really foretell Alexander the Great. As a matter of fact, we believe that Daniel wasn't even written until 125 B.C. What they're too stupid to realize is that still makes Daniel a book like none other, because he still, even if it was 125 B.C., still prophesied Messiah being cut off exactly when he was cut off. And so then that led them to try to undermine it even more until other discoveries have dated the book of Daniel, at least the earliest copy, several centuries before Jesus Christ. Now, if a book is 300 or 400 years before Jesus, it didn't just pop into existence there. They know that it was copied from something previous to that. Well, it was written around 580 to 560 B.C. And we can believe, based on our belief in the Bible, but also supported by real archaeology, real history, just like science. Real science backs up this book.
Amen.
It's only when you get into the theories and conjecture that people start to say, oh, that contradicts the Bible. Well, I don't care. It's just your opinion. That's your theory. But when we talk about hard substance, it backs up this book.
Amen.
And we'll do more studies on that and talk more about that constantly, regularly. We bring that all that up because you have to have faith in this book if you want to have faith. And the question, where does faith come from? Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Now, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not an empty, blind faith. And it just doesn't come from you trying to conjure it up, just squinting your eyes and saying, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. That's not how it works. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. If you're there, read that. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to have faith, first of all, to be saved, you have to get the gospel message, which comes from the Word of God, comes from the Bible. How that Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And once you preach that gospel, then you look at that sinner, and you make sure they understand that they are a sinner, that it's for their sins Christ died, and they need to repent and believe the gospel. Preaching repentance, testifying to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've just done your duty. And that person has now received the truth of the Word of God in their hearing. But there's more to it than just hearing in the sense that we use the word of just hearing the noise, hearing the words. Hearing, biblically speaking, involves more than just hearing it in your ears. So a couple of important facts before we move on is to understand that faith comes from who? The source of faith is your what? Bible. King James. No exceptions. Anytime any other Bible, even in foreign languages, any other Bible contradicts your King James, it's an error. Your faith comes from that King James Bible, and it comes from God. The Bible is divinely inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. No exceptions. If you are going to grow in your faith and you think you're going to do that without reading your Bible, you're fooled. Satan's already got a lick on you. You're not going to grow in your faith without reading your Bible. Amen. By the way, that can be a big print Bible like mine or a small print like the one in the pew. It can be an audio Bible. It can be a Braille Bible like Martha's got over here. But it's the words. Amen. People accuse you and I of being bibliolaters and worshiping the Bible. Listen, I don't worship the book. I don't worship the pages. I don't worship the leather cover. But I believe the words are of God. They are inspired, meaning they are infallible. They do not have any error. They are infallible truth. And whether it's on a written page or in audio or in Braille, the words, that's what we're all about. And I don't care. I don't care. You call me a bibliolater all you want. You're a false accuser, you're a slanderer, and you answer to God for that. Amen. Christians, true Christianity, we have always been people of the book. Amen. Charismatic Christianity is not biblical Christianity. Amen. Christians have never been people without personal control. Yeah, that's not Christianity. And Christians have never just spoken gibberish and called it tongues and not had an interpretation like they're doing in churches all over the county right now. Churches all over Franklin County, all over the country, all over the world, they've got dozens of people, and there's no sense to it at all. And rightly, people turn on the TV and see that and they think, man, those Christians are nuts. Sadly, that's not Christianity. Christianity, true Christianity, is about the book, the Word of God. Look at this. This is kind of a play on a bumper sticker some of you have seen probably through the years. No word, N-O, no word, no faith. Or you can say,